you Becklin!
NHL fans, give yourself some great looks this season and get Sharks tickets at Ticketmaster.
Oh, what a save by Blackwood!
As the official marketplace of the Sharks and the NHL, Ticketmaster has a wide selection of tickets available for every game so you can catch all the action live.
Classic shoots, and he scores!
If your plans change, you can sell or transfer your tickets, and mobile tickets make it easy to get into the arena in time for puck drop. With Ticketmaster, you'll ensure that when they shoot, you'll score. Get your tickets today at Ticketmaster.com/NHL.
Eklund with a shot. He scores! William Eklund caps an astounding comeback. The Sharks win it!
You're listening to Morning Tide on the Sharks Audio Network.
Score! Fabian centered on a one-time pass. Cooks the defense, has a chance. Deke shoots. Score! A spectacular rush from end to end. I mean Kyle Quinlan.
Now, here's your host, Ted Raimi.
2-1-1 developing. Pastrnak moving up ice for Boston with Geeky. Goes to Geeky, shoots. What a spectacular save by goaltender Askarov. He does the splits, stops it with his right pad, and knocks it down. Henry Thrun gives him a thank you tap. And what a moment that was for Yaroslav Askarov to keep it 0-0. Brandon Carlo, far side, is able to put the first pass out. Tipped ahead. Beecher tried to get it. Loses to Smith across the line. Great drop pass. Gets a return feed. Shoots. He scores! Will Smith on a give and go gets the game even 2-2 with a brilliant play. First defensively and then with a beautiful snapshot that gets quite Corposato.
Yeah, just a young team that got scrambly. You know, they put us on our heels and we couldn't, you know, relieve the pressure by making some plays. We got back to kind of flipping pucks to the middle of the ice and they just feed off that stuff. They have talented players over there that are going to come in down and try to create offense like they did tonight through the middle of the ice. And if you put pucks to the middle of the ice softly, that's what's going to happen. That's what we just learned.
All right, what's happening, everybody? It is a Tuesday morning. We have another Sharks game coming up later today. That one's going to be at 5 o'clock from Nashville. But right now we are looking back at the San Jose Sharks 6-3 loss in Boston, a score that is in no way indicative of what we saw over the course of the game yesterday. From my vantage point, the Sharks played a better game. From my vantage point, the Sharks made improvements. From my vantage point, Will Smith played one of his best games in the NHL. From my vantage point, Boston was a desperate team with much more to play for and much more overall talent on that roster. And that was a big part of what went down in this game that allowed San Jose to A, be in it, but B, also get beat resoundingly when all was said and done. That's not to say that the Sharks were that much worse than Boston in the game because they were right there. But I think that overall you have to take a look at the fact that Boston was able to push at the right moments of the game. The third period, Boston took control. The Sharks did not have an answer. And that has been a story that we have seen over and over and over this year from the San Jose Sharks. They are not getting blown out the way they were a year ago. They have more talent across the board on the ice. But in the critical moments of the game, they are still coming up short. And that's why Boston was able to come back with 4 goals in the third period, 2 of them empty netters, but the 2 goals took them from a 3-2 deficit and put them in a 4-3 lead, and then they added on the insurance goals off an empty net. That is what a good team does. That's what Boston is capable of doing. That's what San Jose is not capable of doing as of yet. But even in the midst of a loss, I think there are some takeaways that you have to be positive about. The first is that they were significantly better than they were in their 2 previous games against both Columbus and the Islanders, in which I think it's pretty fair to say that the virus that was running through their team was affecting things. That's definitely one of my takeaways watching this game versus the previous 2. I know we can say that the Sharks on any given day can come out with a flat performance, as they have this year, but when guys are sick, when guys are down and out, there's a difference between the way they played in the game against the Islanders and Columbus, which I described as anemic, and then you look at some of the other games they played earlier this year versus Calgary or Philadelphia, which I described as very flat. 2 different styles of being flat. One, I think, was influenced by the virus. One, I think, was just bad nights for San Jose. But, you know, overall, when I watched the game yesterday, San Jose had more jump in their legs. They were more aggressive. They were trying to make more plays. They got more shots off overall. The shot counter throughout that game was showing that San Jose was being more aggressive, that they were trying to create more opportunities, that they were doing a better job of giving themselves an opportunity over the course of the game. And I think my biggest takeaway was the play of Will Smith from this game. Yes, Yaroslav Askarov had some nice saves that kept them in it. He wasn't perfect, but it wasn't on him. And Barclay Goodrow had another goal. Fabian Zetterlund had a goal. But Will Smith in two different instances in this game, created goals on his own, starting with his defensive play. We've heard it from coaches for years. If you've been paying attention to the NHL, whether it's a Sharks coach, whether it's a Nashville coach, whether it's a Calgary coach, whether it is a Florida coach, whoever it is around the NHL, they often talk about offense being born of the hard work on defense. And in two different instances, Will Smith was able to step into an offensive play as a defender and turn it into offense for him. There was one that the goal he scored on the give and go. There was the other one where he fed Fabian Zetterlund. And that was just overall high quality hockey that I think everyone should look at and say, that's what Will Smith is capable of in the NHL. And I think there's a reason why he's making these plays now and he wasn't making them earlier in the year. He's simply more comfortable with his role on the ice. I know that everybody wants Will Smith to be a complete product on the ice yesterday, but it does take time. It does take a minute for these guys to figure out their games. And Will Smith, while he's not yet at the consistent level of Macklin Celebrini, he is finding his game. And I think people who are crying for him to be sent down to the AHL or, you know, don't understand the plan in place for San Jose probably are looking at yesterday's game and saying, oh, yeah, that is pretty good. That's a big NHL playmaking player out there on the ice. And that's when you're just seeing the surface being scratched. When you watch the consistency from these guys, when you see what they're capable of, this is when you start to learn exactly what they can do. And I think it is very exciting. I have to admit, it is a very, very exciting play to watch these guys, to see what they can do, because right now we're just starting to get the taste of it. Again, you see the ceiling. We all know about his shot. We know about his offense, but now we're starting to see fully what he's capable of. For me, that's going to make things very interesting as his career begins to develop, because right now we've only seen certain aspects of his game. Yesterday was a big clue about what could be there in the future, and I think that's a reason to be excited. The developmental pathway is different for every single player, and I think that was what was so fun to watch about yesterday's game, is that defense turning into offense was something we had not really seen from Will Smith, and I got excited because that's the future of San Jose Sharks hockey developing right before our eyes. In fact, let's hear Ruzzi's call of it.
Here comes Marchand up the middle, down across the Sharks' line. Drop pass, Wotherspoon tried the pass. Will Smith defensively makes a great play and deflects it ahead. Down the right side comes Zetterlund, in across the line, weaves to the middle, shoots one save, rebound, he scores! Fabian Zetterlund gets his own rebound and puts the Sharks in front, 3-2, with 4:42 to go in the second. Wow!
Man, what a great call by Ruzzi. And to discuss all of this after yesterday's Sharks post-game live presented by Toyota on NBC Sports California, I chatted with Alan Hoshida about everything that we saw in that game from San Jose. We're back. The San Jose Sharks falling to the Boston Bruins 6-3 in Boston today. Morning Tide, Ted Ramey, Alan Hoshida with you here. Alan, of course, the host of Sharks pre- and post-game live on NBC Sports California. Alan, this one was a game where we saw some things that we liked from San Jose. We saw some things that we didn't like from San Jose. Where do you want to start with this one?
Yeah, it was a mixed bag for sure. They played really well for 40 minutes, much better than they had on the road trip for a long time. It just ended up not working out with another doomed third. But I think you have to start with just all the guys going back to Boston, especially with Will Smith, who kind of comes out and rises to the occasion and had one of his better games definitely in the last month or so.
Let's talk about Will Smith, because he did really show aspects of his game that he hasn't this year, and that was specifically defense and that defense turning into offense. And I've said it a couple times that Will Smith's biggest problem is that he's not Macklin Celebrini, because he's got the, you know, the Calder Cup, or the Calder candidate right there, who looks like he is going to be a generational talent right off the bat. Will Smith still growing into his game, but then Will Smith has these games where he shows you that playmaking ability, just his overall IQ, which is what a lot of the scouts talked about with him, and, you know, created two goals, pretty much started both those plays.
Right. And he went on the second one, he went through the guy. That's something that we haven't seen a whole lot. He used his body to make the defensive play instead of the stick. He did use the stick on the first one, but it was a great poke check, and he gets kind of things going in the right direction. And I also would think that's good to show him that if you play disciplined defensively, your offense will come. You'll get your chances on the offensive zone. And really, the last couple games since he was benched in that third period a few games ago, he started to come back around. He had some really good passes to Granlin against the Islanders that didn't just work out. But this game against Boston in his hometown, I think you know, Drew and JD were saying over 100 people there.
Right.
He rose and yeah, he played some defense, got in transition, moved his feet, carried the puck, and then had a wicked shot. And I think if you can build on that, and you did say something post game, I believe, or in one of the intermissions where, hey, now you got to do that every night.
Right.
Not just when you're home, not just when you're in front of your people, but you have to bring that type of energy every single game. And that's going to be the next case. But now you can circle to at least two periods and say, that's the type of player that Will Smith can be. We've seen it at other points too this season.
I think it's interesting to note though, that he still is growing into that player. Like you will see him have these games. Like he had the multi-goal game in his first, you know, time that he scored. He's had other really bright moments, but this was that first time where we saw that defensive aspect of turning defense into offense. And I think it's interesting to watch that because these are the steps that he needs to take to keep on growing into that player. I guess what's, now that we've seen him turn that defense into offense, what's the next thing that you want to see with from him? Is it more defense overall, or what, where do you go?
I think if he's moving, shift in and shift out, moving his skates, and he's closing space, and he's really able to catch up to the game speed, I think that's the biggest thing. Because yes, you're going to make these defensive plays, but that all happens if he busts right off the for the line change, right? It all becomes down to his effort each and every game. And I'm not saying he doesn't have the effort there every game, because I think he's still learning what it is. But you, to your point, he's taking the steps, and you can't skip steps. So I think the next thing that in his development, it's so cliche, but just consistency. Like,
right.
Let's see this. Let's see it tomorrow night against Nashville. And these games are piling up for Macklin and Will. They haven't played this many games in a season, a calendar year, let alone in a few months. So to see him kind of get a burst of legs, that's also good, because the Sharks are going to need him. And if they can close out this month of January, those legs are going to get a little bit of a break, and maybe they'll get refreshed for the final stretch.
It's also important to note that both Will Smith had a great game, and I thought that Macklin Celebrini had some good moments as well, but it was one of our talking points in pregame. Tyler Toffoli was out.
Yes.
And he's been out for two consecutive games. We don't know if he's going to be there against Nashville tomorrow, but Will Smith showed up. Mm-hmm. And I think that's something that when a veteran goes down, the young guy has to feel the good pressure, because there's pressure in every game. It's the NHL. It's the best league in the world. But to know that he was able to respond in an instance to where a veteran leading goal scorer on the team, Tyler Toffoli, is out. If you're Ryan Warsawski, you've got to feel good about that.
Yeah, because you need guys to step up. Toffoli's your leading goal scorer, and he tried to give it a go, and he couldn't go in warmups. And so the young guys, when you put a little bit extra pressure on you, let's see who's going to step up in that moment. And Will Smith, for at least the game against the Boston Bruins, did just that. And that line of Zetterlund, Granlund, and Smith was good. And that's what you're hoping when you put those guys together, because it's not a combo we really had seen a whole lot. Granny had been with Smith a little bit, but it's unlocked also Mikhail Granlund, who's had some points here in the last few games. And so Mikhail Granlund, to your point, not a young guy, but when Toffoli goes out, has to step up as well, because you have to go all over the place. You saw Alex Wennberg play with Celebrini, because he got moved into that slot. So when your leading guy goes down, who's going to step up and answer that bell? And that's another one of your asked questions, and who's going to answer. So for Will Smith to do it, I think also shows the coaching staff that he's able to take a little bit more on when needed. And obviously you don't want to throw everything out at the guys because they're rookies and teenagers, but hey, for a few games, if Toffoli's out, let's put a little more on him and see what he can do.
Exactly. And I think that's the thing, is you have to do it gradually. You can't do it all at once, like your point. And I think that's what's been nice about the way they've tried to work Will Smith in this year, is that they have not made him an everyday player, because they recognize that maybe he's got to take some rest games. He's not where Macklin is physically, and Macklin had the benefit of having a dad who was a professional athlete, and that may have helped him, you know, be more prepared overall. But I think that when you are where the Sharks right now, you've still got to get to a point where you're not looked at every game as a young player. And I think we're getting to that point where they will still manage the minutes of a Macklin and a Will Smith in that regard. But I think now that we're past the halfway point, they're not going to be looked at as the rookie, young, inexperienced player that Ryan Warsawski and the entirety of the Sharks are probably going to put a little bit more responsibility on them in games, because they have the experience up to this point. And I think they've shown that they've been able to level up their games.
Yeah, and we also don't know if Macklin was going to play every single game.
Right.
He missed 12 games.
True.
So that those are games that you don't know. Maybe in that touches that early stretch like they did with Will Smith, maybe he'd have a game or two off. But when you miss 12,
right,
you know, there goes all your rest days. And I think you're right, though. Now that they have 50, almost 50 games under their belt or something like that, they know what they need to do. Now it's about doing that. And the coach has to start giving them more responsibility because that's also taking the next step. And they have a 2-week break off here coming in February.
Yeah.
And after that 2-week break, there's a lot of interesting things that are going to move. The trade deadline comes up, and I know we're already kind of talking about it, but there are going to be changes for this team regardless. Like, we, you know what? And so that means those guys are going to have to take on more because either you're getting back pieces who haven't been around the team all year,
yeah,
or they're draft picks or prospects, and they're not necessarily going to be with the team right away. So, like it or not, they have to start taking that next step and they have to start getting more responsibility and see how much they have learned in the first 45, 50 games and as we go on through the year.
The names we've heard come up in deadline discussions. Nico Sturm had the report via Curtis Pichelka of Barry News Group that he felt that his name was going to come up in trade discussions or that it was a definite possibility that he could be moved. Luke Cunningham is another one. Mikael Granlund's name has been there since day one. Cody Ceci's name has been there since day one. I'm sure I'm leaving somebody off the list right now as I'm naming them.
No, but I think you got pretty close. And then you also have like Georgiev or Vitek.
Yeah, one of those two guys. And Georgiev, even though he had more goals against in his last game, I didn't put those on him in the slightest. There was some really bad defending for the play in front of him. But yes, so the Sharks are going to be making moves. I guess Mikael Granlund is the one to start with, whereas he has been very productive since being a member of the Sharks. He likes it here, it seems. The team likes him as a leader. But I guess we start asking ourselves the question of, does his timeline, being 32 years old, does that line up with where the Sharks want to go in terms of an investment? And I think these are the hard questions because everyone here likes Granlund. No one wants to break up the Lund lines, but we also know that this probably isn't going to last forever. Nothing ever does.
Yeah, and you know, you asked me that on our last show about what I think of this extension. And I think, yeah, there's a number there that has to come in mind. You also have to think about what pressure it leaves off of Will Smith. Does it count now as we come on? He's kind of slowed up here a little bit. There's a lot of things probably weighing on him. No guy, I know he missed practice the other day, so no guy is obviously not blaming all on this. There's other guys going through things. But hey, you got to decide what is going to be the proper move there. If Mikael is dealt at the deadline, mm-hmm. to your previous point, that means maybe Will Smith does make that move into inside, because unless you get another center, what are you going to do? Maybe Wendberg comes up, but those are other things that will come up because of that. And that might be good to see a Will Smith 30 games chunk after he had a little bit of development here, put him in the center and see where he's at, because we do know right now he has a wicked shot. And when he uses it, it's really good. Can he be a finisher out the wing, or is he going to drive the line at the center? So that is a question coming up. The other question that we kind of bounced around is, when you named all those guys, how many moves can you make legitimately? Like, so we have these names out there, but it's a question of, will they all go, or can they all go? Because you also have to, Eve reminded me of this, is there is real people in that dressing room. And if you take away 5-6 people, what is that, like a third of the roster? Yeah. Like a nightly roster? That's hard. That's a tough ask.
It's also hard on the Barracuda if you're not getting one-for-one type players. And I don't mean value, but you know, if you're going to have to then pilfer the Barracuda and the strong season they're having, I don't know if that's exactly what Mike Greer wants to do either. But I think you're probably going to see a couple. I mean, I think Mike Greer has to be honest. I think he has to say, yes, it would be bad for the dressing room in the near future and it would not help their record. But he also has to acknowledge that, and I hate to say this, but it's not about today. And I think I'm not trying to insult season ticket holders or the people who are tuning in every night, because sports, as much as it is money investment, it's a time and emotional investment as well. Everyone's invested in this year's Sharks, and to suddenly see them trade away players, it'd be tough for everyone. And that's why Mike Greer is put in that position to make the tough decisions.
But I think you have to be realistic as a fan, as a you know, investor of time and your resources into it. You have to be realistic about where this team is. If they don't trade anybody, if you looked at this from a business standpoint, that's maybe malpractice.
Yeah.
You can't do this because you're not going to re-sign all those guys because, A, you just, I mean, they might have the money, but if you bring back everyone that's unrestricted, you just have the same team that you just are going to win 30 games around-ish.
Which is not the goal, I don't think.
That's not the goal. So you have to do something. And yeah, it's tough to do. And we talked to Jason Demers about it today during pregame, and the guys know about it too. And so the guys maybe are like, man, we just need to get to this trade deadline to see what's going to happen. Because I think it's an interesting deadline. And I think it's an interesting deadline because what are they going to do? I'm not above them buying a contract. You know, they got a ton of cap space. So maybe there's teams out there that are turning the page. Their seasons haven't gone well. They're trying to unload some huge contracts or a portion of that. Well, the Sharks have a lot of cap space. And so maybe they can do a little bit of, hey, there's a young guy, 20-something-year-old, that's going to fit our timeline that we could bring back and maybe buy a little bit of his contract. And so they could do a little bit of both.
It's interesting to watch them play these teams that might potentially be in the trade discussion with them, like Columbus. I think that after the tragic start to their season, they've been one of the better stories in hockey lately. I'm sure that they could still bolster their roster. They'd be looking at San Jose. I am sure that Boston might be looking at San Jose. That's another one. Nashville, I don't know what exactly is going to go on there. I'll be curious to see what they end up doing. Last year, they had that incredible run.
Yeah.
Do they have that in them again this year? I don't know.
And that's another note about the Sharks. Some these guys that are on expiring contracts, a lot of them have some pedigree to them.
Yeah, no, Nico Sturm.
Nico Sturm's won. Ruda's won a cup. Cody Ceci's been to game 7 of the Stanley Cup Finals before. You know,
Barclay Goodrow's name hasn't been there, but he's, you know, he's a Stanley Cup champion.
There's guys that winning teams that need a depth piece, or they need someone who's really good in the face-off dot. They need someone who go win out draws or a penalty killer like Nico Sturm. You know, they're going to go out to San Jose and say, hey, look, we want this. So that's part of it, too, is not that that Mike Greer is going, he's knocking on doors and saying, oh, do you want our guy? I think part of it is they have guys that on a team that's a little bit deeper can play their roles and maybe roles that they're, you know, better fitted for. And you're not playing out of position so much that they're going after some of the Sharks' assets.
And so, and I can't blame them for doing so because everyone knows that the Sharks are not at that point in time as of yet. And it's difficult because you like all these guys that are on the team, but you know, they got an offer they couldn't receive for Mackenzie Blackwood. Yeah. And I imagine that people are going to come in with some pretty good offers for some of the names we've been talking about. As we look at the here and now, we're getting more and more of Yaroslav Askarov. He made some incredible saves in this game today and keeps on looking like that goalie of the future. What do you think the Sharks are thinking of with Georgiev and Vitek and the deadline and what happens next? Because I think if Georgiev is refining his game the way that it appears that he is, he's an option. Vitek, you know, when he's been healthy this year, he's been pretty solid for San Jose. I mean, the interesting thing about Mike Greer is that he keeps on giving himself options, especially at that netminder position.
Well, I think they really only have one move that they can actually do before the deadline. Or they have two moves. They could trade one of those guys, and maybe Georgiev has shown enough this month that a team out there is looking for some more insurance in net. But the more likely thing is that Vitek's going to get healthy here. Probably he was week to week, coming back from a cheekbone.
Yeah.
But he's going to get healthy here. And so that at some point they're going to say, okay, we have three NHL goalies. There's no doubt about it that Yaroslav Askarov is an NHL goalie.
Yeah.
I would say he's maybe, I don't know. I don't want to put, I don't know for sure, but he wasn't 100% today.
No, they said he was still sick and that he was down packed.
If he was at 70 or 80%, you could still win a lot of NHL games with that guy that was in net today. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. It's like, so he's definitely an NHL guy, but he's the only one you can send out.
Yeah.
And so, again, that's going to be a gut punch to maybe some of the fans looking on and saying, oh, they're trying to tank. I don't know if they're trying to tank as much as they have no other roster construction, contract construction.
Yeah.
They can't do anything else. They have to send him down. They're not going to carry three goalies. And maybe Vitek is
– yeah, unless they get a deal.
They give deal, or Vitek's not getting close and he comes back a little bit closer to the deadline and you only have it for like a week or two.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think they have – I don't – I mean, I don't even want it. I want to see Askarov up the whole time and
– but you've got to be logical.
Get the train going. Yeah, because if you – the other side of it is either – you either carry three – for an extended period of time, which means you don't have a depth forward or defender, which they just had a bout of illness.
Yeah.
So that's not going to help.
We all saw how that
affected things. Or you put one of those guys on waivers and give them up for nothing. Like, yeah, that doesn't make any sense either. So you have the only move they do is when all three of them are healthy and all three of them are still with the organization, is Askarov probably gets moved down for however long that is. But once that move is made, because I think it's a guarantee that they are going to open the back half or the last 15 games or so after the deadline, I think we might see Askarov 10 out of 15.
It's definitely possible. And I don't think anybody would be opposed to it because the guy's so fun to watch.
And if you would have said at the beginning of the year, he's going to, now it's going to be around 20 games, like going into the year, you're like, oh yeah, that probably makes sense that he's probably going to make 20 starts for the team.
That's fine. Yeah. I think everyone would be happy with
that. And then next year, you make him go, you're never going to hand over the crease to anybody. You don't want to hand over a job to anybody.
Yeah.
Let him go win it in training camp, and then maybe he plays 50 games next year.
Yeah, I would not be opposed. I guess looking at the last game in Nashville, who is a team that I can't figure out for the life of me, it's the last chance for the Sharks to salvage this road trip. We know the virus had been going through the team. Obviously, they've been missing Tyler Toffoli for a couple of games. We don't know if he'll play tomorrow, but there's still a chance to salvage it. They had much more life today than they did the previous two games. But now they're on the second night of a back-to-back traveling.
Yeah.
What are you hoping and expecting to see from San Jose?
Well, I hope that maybe they get another Nikolai Kovalenko's on the trip. Maybe he gets in there because then that'll add a little bit of fresh legs. Vlasic didn't play it again. I know he was dealing with illness, but probably a couple lineup changes. Georgiev gets in there. So those from that standpoint, but overall from the team standpoint, they just got to get off to another good start.
Mm-hmm.
Today was a good start. 1-1 after first on the road is good. Solid start for sure, but they can't, they got to fight that battle. And if they could bookend here and go 2-3 on the road trip, win and win, you come home feeling a little bit better. But they're playing a team just like the Bruins, just like the Blue Jackets, just like the Islanders, the Red Wings. Everyone at this point in the season is desperate for wins.
Yeah.
Unless you're the bottom five teams in this league that look like you're not going to make it to the playoffs. Sharks are unfortunately one of those teams again this year. Blackhawks are another one. These other ones are desperately fighting for their lives.
Yeah.
Like those guys in those dressing rooms are fighting to stay together, right? That this is the point where guys are rallying together and say, hey, if we want to go make a run at this, if we don't want the team to trade away some of our buddies, we got to go play the best we can for the next month and a half. And so I think that's some of the things that they're running into in a way is that the Bruins came out desperate in that third period.
Right.
Can you imagine in Boston if the San Jose Sharks went into their building with Will Smith, Macklin Celebrini, two Boston Kings, Henry Thrun, Graf, the head coaches from Boston, and took care of the Bruins on their home ice? That might be the straw that breaks them all down. So I don't know if that's being talked about enough or something that maybe just popped up in my brain, but these teams are desperate. And so the Sharks have to try and match that desperation. It's hard when you, don't have that desperation other than just wanting to win games.
You can only hope that you and I are having this conversation 1 year from today, talking about the Sharks being in that desperation mode where every win, every game matters that much more. Not that these don't matter, but it's different type of mattering for Boston, for a Detroit, who the Sharks cooled them off. But now the Sharks go to Nashville. So you will be with Nick Nolenberger tomorrow.
Me and Noli.
Is that a 5 Noli o'clock starts?
Noli and I. 4:30.
4:30.
Yeah, 5 p.m. Puck drop, 4:30.
But you'll be at 4:30.
Yeah, we'll be at 4:30. You don't want to watch the puck drop. You need to see the whole
you need
build
up. You need to tune in to my guys, Alan and Noli, on Sharks pregame on NBC Sports California. Alan, appreciate your time as always, man. See you soon.
Appreciate it.
Again, that was Alan Hoshida of NBC Sports California joining me yesterday after the Sharks lost to the Bruins. A lot of great stuff to get into there. And I am really curious to see what happens next for San Jose. I think that when we approach the deadline, it's a very fascinating period because they have players that they can trade. There are assets that can be acquired. But I think also you have players who like it here in San Jose. Nico Sturm, even though, yes, he was previously a Stanley Cup champion, I think he enjoys it here in San Jose. I think he likes his time here. Same thing with a Luke Cunningham. Same thing with a Mikhail Granlund. Same thing with a Cody Ceci. Same thing with both Vitek Vanacek and Alexander Georgiev. Whoever, if either of them do end up getting traded, which I always say there is a possibility. But, right now with San Jose, I think that they're just not there yet. You're waiting for them to make those moves in the future where they're the ones being, those that are acquiring at the deadline. That's not where San Jose is as of yet, But right now, you see exactly what it is that they're trying to do, which is build for the future. It's not the sexiest thing for everyone, but it's a necessary aspect. We're out of time. 4:30 pre, 5 o'clock go time right here on the Sharks Audio Network. Dan Rusinowski, Jason Demers on the call. For the San Jose Sharks, I'm Ted Ramey, signing off.
This podcast can be found on demand anytime on the Sharks Plus SAP Center app. All music by Yogi Yend.